Yo, it's Greg Sipes here, Beast Boy. And when I'm not hanging in the Titans Tower, I'm right here on Epic Briefs Podcast. It's so good. If it was a burrito, I'd eat it twice,
good day,
yo.
Good day, good day, good day, good day, good day. Had a lot of bad ones this year, but today's a good day, good day, good day, good day. I've been up and I've been down, but you know any day you wake up, that's a good day.
This is the new Epic Briefs Media Podcast. This will be a once a month podcast, and it'll be updating you on all the cool stuff we have going on as far as like Epic Briefs Media, which is something new and fun that will open up a lot of avenues for creativity. And tonight we have
Mandy Moore, not the singer, the person,
aka Ultimate Pop Mom, aka what, Bookworm?
Definitely Bookworm.
AKA.
Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Dude, that's a classic. You can't hate on the Reading Rainbow song.
That's awesome.
Gives me the chills.
There's something about the Reading Rainbow song that makes me happy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a very yeah. happy vibe.
It is a very happy vibe. And next up we have
Danito Santana. Bring that energy. Okay, reloaded.
And then also, last but not least, Chris, what are you saying there? What are you saying?
I'm saying no cap.
No cap.
All truth.
And as you guys know, I am Claudius, a.k.a.
Tony.
Yeah.
Hey.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's nice.
More. And I'll be your host, and we will be right back after this. To kick off the podcast episode, I'm going to tell you what I've been up to for the last year, but really make it concise.
What you've been up to?
Going back to like when the podcast had the variety show vibe, I was so excited to do that in 2021 because I thought it was going to be like a new direction for the podcast. A lot of work went into it because I was trying to do like a pre-production, then like production, then like a post kind of vibe. I think it turned out really well, but it was a lot to keep up with as far as trying to juggle like life and that at the same time. Let's just say the variety show was an experiment that didn't go as planned. But what are you gonna say? Sorry.
I was gonna say that that's fine because we tweak until we get there, right?
That is true, though. Yeah. So learning.
Sometimes we twerk till we get there.
Yeah.
Be watching.
In your case, Chris,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is going to give you guys a behind the scenes kind of vibe of what we're working on or struggle we're going through with being creative and getting the show from point A to point B.
How we make the sausage.
Yeah. How you make the sausage. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nobody wants to know how you make the sausage.
Yeah. But we've been planning to do different shows because Epic Brew started out as talking about random stuff every week, and then podcast took a really big shift, and now it's like you have to be very focused on like topic to topic. So I'm taking what we created and making it different shows. I think that'll be less like smaller bits but like more content in a way. So yeah, I think it'll be good. I think we had a really good jumping off point, but you know, it's not really gonna just change with what people want. And but we're still, you know, still the same nerdy, creative, awkward people that we've always been.
That will never change.
Yeah, yes. Don't ever change. So, I do want to go more in depth of what those are going to be, but like I feel like it's a nice surprise that you guys see like logos being released on the Instagram. Epic Bruce Media is the Instagram. I need to remember that. But we have like creative stuff that you probably don't know we know about, which is like some automotive stuff, which is really exciting.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So different directions and just different content. So stay tuned for that, and I will stop blabbing and reintroduce my co-hosts. Now, who wants to go first for these deep diving questions? I want to ask them questions so you guys get to know them better, obviously, because I feel like that's important for you guys to get acquainted. So, do you want to go with a podcast vet first, Chris? Maybe?
No. I say let the vet go first.
All right, sure. Chris, you get to go first on this.
Trying to get back into photography and making myself do things and going out and doing more events. We've gone to, trying to remember what all we've done. We've gone to the High Museum down in Atlanta.
Yeah, that was fun.
Do that and take pictures there. Sure. Hoping to go to the, well, not hoping, we are going to go to the Monet immersive experience.
Every time you say it, I remember like Mr. Crab saying Monet. So like what, as far as like creative directions, like where do you see yourself going with the photography? I know you mentioned to me like toy photography, but like do you still see yourself going that direction?
Well, I've got a couple of creative things, outlets we're going to go through this year. I'll do the photography in just a second, but we started working on writing short stories and coming up with some really cool ideas based on some
real life
events
things.
That's been happening. So
those balloons flying over.
The balloons flying over, and then the upsurge in AI technology.
Yeah, so, another one. Sure.
Already started writing those. So I've at least committed to like actually writing these, because in the last few years we've had a lot of great stories, great ideas, and we put them down somewhere, but we never actually do them.
Yeah, I'm really bad about that. So I need to get better about actually following through, for sure.
We had started promising we're going to start writing episodes of our favorite shows and how they could do things or how they should do things.
And
rewrite movies. But
we definitely did.
I think that was a big thing to try to take, because that wasn't a writing style that we ever really attempted.
And dude, I'm lazy as shit. Like, if I have to write something I don't want to write, because like, I don't like reading, you know?
Well,
Manny's gonna chime in.
Don't do it.
Well, I'm not chiming in on the reading, but you do have rants on how you would like for a movie to take a certain turn or a show. So maybe just when you have a rant, just kind of record yourself.
Yeah, I use the memo app a lot. Yeah,
we did that. Yeah,
I just need to follow through more.
That's actually a lot of the original podcast. We were ranting about shows and things. I can't believe they did this. I should have handled this way. And then that's actually originally how it started. We would be at the gym and we'd talk about how, you know, a movie would do a particular storyline and be like, why did they go this way? They could have easily done this route. It would have been a lot better.
So what made you want to get into like the toy photography stuff? Like what like inspired that idea?
Just seeing some articles and seeing like people taking their toys and like putting them in unique situations, like Darth Vader at a urinal with like stormtroopers behind him, like protecting him, you know. Things like that. And then seeing like people do like
sorry guys, phone notification.
Really?
Someone's listening.
Really?
and
then like, you know, Mysterio taking the toys from the movie and like putting him in like scenes and like showing them like do like explosions with like sand and stuff and like explosions with like firecrackers and making it look like real. Obviously toys.
I really like that idea of taking the toys that you think are like epic characters and putting them in like ordinary real life situations.
That's cool.
Sneak them in the bathroom.
I think that's I really hope you do follow through with the toy photography.
So I'll start working on it. I've collected some different things to put together, and I started playing around with different props and things like that, but I've got to get better about learning editing and things like that.
What would be your like ideal, most perfect toy photography like set? You can have anything,
like the actual setup or like what
lighting
picture do I want to take?
Setup, lighting, whatever is like your perfect ideal setup right now.
I'm kind of working on a couple of ideas, like with the Gargoyle NECA figures. So doing some dark cityscape kind of city top, rooftop kind of shots would be something I'd be interested in doing. And then I've got the Age of Apocalypse, Marvel Legends figures, got that almost complete set. And I kind of want to do like an epic battle between that version of the X-Men and Apocalypse. And I'm looking at getting, some props that look like the Egyptian temple, like the opening of Egyptian temple, and like black obsidian.
Have you ever tried to do any like stop motion with it?
I haven't really done any stop motion.
Dude, that'd be cool. You should do that.
That's really awesome.
I kind of want to make sure that I actually have the patients to go through and actually set them up for individual shots first, because, you know, when you do stop motion, you have to do the shot, then you have to take a picture, move them like,
yeah,
and take another picture.
A lot of patients go into that.
A lot of intricate stuff. Huh?
So I was like, I want to make sure I can get them into cool poses first before I start trying to actually move them. But potentially that could be something going on.
So going off of that, what can people expect from, like, the imagery and, like, how you compose your photos? Because people have, like, a look to their stuff. And have you, like, discovered your look yet? Or are you still trying to explore that?
I am picking up different things and different props and things like that. And so I'll play around with the lighting. So I will say for the first year, you can expect to see trial and error.
Okay. I mean, I feel like creativity flourishes in the trial and error level or stage or whatever. So I think that's great. Actually.
And I may even like take notes of what I'm doing and like things that I've learned so that anybody else gets into it, they may can read something and kind of get something out of it. So
are you going to be posting it on like social or just like have a website or how are you going to do that? Or like
it's like photo book. Really sure. Like right now I'm probably going to start with Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so I'll probably.
You going to do for the gram still?
Yeah, 10
years,
probably.
10 years going strong.
Yeah, you know, because I'm all about the gram, you know, sitting there and I'm posting left and right.
Chris, Roxanne,
it's all about the gram.
Yeah. All for the gram. Bitches love the gram.
Oh, Chris, get rid of your older Instagram. Chris got like 8 Instagram handles.
I got 3.
Okay.
Wait. One.
See how that girl's on there, yo?
Some burner gram.
Yeah, some burner gram.
I mean, you got to do stuff and then like, you got to keep your groups separated. So like you
keep
can't
them separated.
So you can do something offensive and not offend your your core group.
Chris, we don't get offended.
Oh, you will.
All right. Well, I mean, if you want to drop the Instagram handle now.
I don't have, for the toy photography, I don't have one set yet.
Wow, thanks for being unprepared, Chris.
I told you I'm still building and working.
Dude, we're planning this podcast for a whole 16 hours.
A whole 16 hours.
No, that's great. No, I'm looking forward to see what you come up with for the toy photography and the writing.
Thank you.
We're going to go to Danny. Nick. How was your last year? Was it like
last year
pretty chill or?
Pretty active. Pretty active year. Let's change from a one bedroom to a house. So that's pretty good. Got upgrade on a vehicle. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty awesome, actually. What kind of vehicle?
I got a truck.
Oh, really?
So I'm in Georgia, and I feel like I have to get a truck because I'm in Georgia.
We could
have
used that truck a couple of weeks ago. We were moving that bookshelf. Reasonable rates.
One truck and one guy.
You should start that business.
I can only carry so much stuff. That'll be the fine print.
Yeah, right. But you don't
do it till I get tired.
But you have been wanting to grow some wheat. No, I'm joking. You want to like get into growing greens and stuff that you've been talking to me about.
I mean, let's face it. That's originally that was the plan.
Yeah,
I mean, the pandemic.
That was the OG plan. For sure.
It's like, yeah, well, yeah, sell some wheat.
But what got you into like? What introduced you to that world of like growing greens and stuff like that? Like, what made you want to get into doing that?
I was on YouTube trying to find a fancy word for weed.
Oh,
and
really?
I came across microgreens.
Code word.
Found out they were legal. And you can grow them, you know, in state. No one's going to get in trouble. But they didn't have the same effects at all as weed.
Oh, okay.
But
have other effects.
Right? Yeah, they had healthy effects. And, so, yeah, I was coming across hydroponic stuff and randomly ran into this LED growing of microgreens. And when I heard the word microgreens, it's just curious, what is this word? Why am I looking at it now?
Yeah.
Just like anyone does on YouTube.
Right.
And, you know, just couldn't stop thinking, hey, maybe this is another route that I can take during the pandemic and make some money and start a business off that. And yeah. It's been just the rabbit hole of just good stuff.
Do you have any like particular ones you want to focus on as far as like when you start growing stuff?
On top of microgreens, we're actually working on indoor plants, and because I kind of feel they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, the microgreens, they're just like baby versions of vegetables, so they'll take about, you know, 2 weeks to harvest, and there's a large variety of them. And I feel like indoor plants and the nutritious, you know, value from the microgreens, you know, I think they both help our minds and our body and our daily living.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
they're just both relatively inexpensive to get. And, you know, take no space at all. I mean, kind of like walking into your apartment, you got a bunch of nice indoor plants. You can,
yeah, that's, you know, where the, that's that where the micro comes in, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Which I'm sure everyone has a plant in their house right now.
Except Chris, he hates plants.
He hates plants.
We have a plant.
And Chris hates rice, too. Do you guys know Chris hates rice?
God.
Oh, no.
I want to punch everybody at the table.
All I'm saying is how he hates rice, but...
We got to get him a bag of rice. You know?
So, like, business-wise, are you trying to make it, like, an official business? Or, like, trying to go in that direction?
Definitely. Definitely am. Because why not? You know, instead of working for a large corporation, I feel, hey, if I can stick to something that will, you know, help out the neighborhood and help me out with, you know, food and just easy living as far as, you know, just... I guess the cost of everything, it's, you know, why not be your own boss and just take a chance at it? So
yeah,
definitely go on the business route. And our business name is Urban Roots Greenhouse. And currently we're just kind of trying to perfect the microgreens, but more focused right now towards indoor plants, because the microgreens, you know, it takes a lot of work to kind of perfect it. They have to be, I want this to be as clean, easy process. So it's kind of like a hydroponics and, you know, sanitized space. So
yeah,
just
so like everything else, it's like trial and error, of course, like Chris's photography. We're all just like starting something new.
Yeah, it's still in the workings, but the indoor plants is kind of like immediate, you know. So we're kind of in the works of working on our webpage to represent that
nice.
We can get going on that at least.
So do you guys have a question? Sorry.
There's no question. I remember Danny starting the Urban Roots Greenhouse back in the pandemic, and a lot of people were interested in greens, like microgreens, because it, I guess, healthy living had become like kind of expensive at that time. Mm-hmm. And he actually had a couple of customers, and we hand delivered her microgreens to her.
Oh, cool.
And that's, she awesome. Enjoyed it very much.
But yeah, she said she like hurt her elbow, and like after all the microgreens it healed, like she had Wolverine status.
Well, shout out to whoever that person was. Yeah. Thanks for supporting a small business.
K. Lorton. I don't want to say the first name.
Yeah, well, that's cool though. Yeah. See, there's like proof right there that people actually want it, and that's encouraging for sure.
Yeah,
that someone did that.
Yeah, why not spread the love, right?
Yeah, I agree. So like, what went into your approach of creating like the brand, like the look of like your logo, just the name? Is everything you just said, or was there more stuff to that?
No, there's definitely more stuff to that. So you know, just during the pandemic, I was kind of going like, why is this a thing? Why is LED growing a thing for these microgreens? And you know, obviously it's because our growing population, you know, and farmland is just not always consistent. So this type of growing is, you know, you can house it anywhere and grow it year round.
Yeah, good point.
So you know, it's kind of like a no-brainer to stick with this method and see if, you know, the idea takes off to go ahead and push making microgreens the kind of like a normal thing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like convenient enough, but I'm sure there's like a lot of other stuff that goes into making it work, obviously. I don't know about
oh yeah, there's so. It's you know, it actually doesn't take that much. I can't wait to get going with it, because I also want to get into, you know, maybe having a couple training classes.
Oh, just, dope. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
that'd be nice. Heck to yeah. offer.
Yeah, and maybe show some like behind the scenes type stuff.
Yeah, that'd exactly. be cool.
And people like that.
But show everyone in the neighborhood, like, well, hey, this is the variety you have access to.
Yeah,
you don't have to go to the grocery store all the time. You can even grow it at home.
Yeah, I feel people like that. When they can like connect to someone on like a I don't know, like a personal level. Mm-hmm. You know that you're like the neighborhood guy. This, even though you're not in their neighborhood necessarily, but providing like knowledge and just, you know, welcoming them into like a community, you know?
So as far as the business plan for the microgreens, we're planning to do like either weekly or biweekly, you know,
nice
door-to-door delivery. I like to work with restaurants and bars, mm-hmm. you know, because, hey, why not? There's a lot of local fresh businesses that are especially minority owned where, you know, they don't always know how these other, you know, large businesses are doing it and how to get a little extra flair on their plate and flavor. And
yeah,
this true. Is the way.
So. Yeah, I agree. Like
Mandalorian.
Mandalorian. I should lose my nerd card for tonight. I mean, what can people expect from like your products in particular?
They can expect actually getting a lot of microgreens for a very inexpensive price.
Nice.
And that is the truth. And it will last for like up to 2 weeks. And that's mm-hmm. the greatest part about it. And you can put it on anything. Sandwiches, soups.
Yeah.
It's very flavorful and very nutritious. So the inexpensive part is what's the best part about it. So
right.
I feel like I'm kind of exclusive. So if people sign up, you know, they're going to want to come back and deliver them the fresh harvest. Microgreens are just baby versions of vegetables mm-hmm. like kale. Wheatgrass. We have daikon radish, mustard, broccoli. There's just a lot of variety. Pea shoots, you know, it doesn't stop. So there's just many things you can do with your dishes.
Yeah. I think that's really awesome. Yeah. So
ready to show it up.
Do you have like a social?
Urban Roots Greenhouse at Instagram.
Okay, cool.
And I think there's a Facebook page we're working on. Let's see what else. Web page is in the works.
Nice.
At urbanrootsgreenhouse.com. And that should be open. And I'm shooting for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We can get rolling.
Nice. Isn't it weird how like the website's always last now? But everything is like always like a social and a website. It's so weird how like it's changed.
Yeah.
Because like before it was like, tell me your website
first. Just a website.
Yeah, exactly. Like websites were like the thing. Now it's like, oh yeah, website.
Well, I got to tell my friends first, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Definitely got to be on social.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, check out the photos on Instagram and, you know, get a look at what you like and the hope to come to your door soon.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm excited. Can I get some free green?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Your neighborhood microgreens, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick it to Munder.
Hi.
Last but not least.
My 2022 was pretty... I would say a little bit life-changing.
Yeah.
And good ways and bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all had our little bouts with anxiety and depression after the pandemic. I think I'm like in my third career bout at this point. And 2022 definitely played a part. I used to be a coordinator for orientation where we onboard new clients. And now I've actually been promoted to project manager,
The
same company.
Yeah.
Pretty much onboarding new clients, but more of a hands-on process and more client-facing, more dealing with issues with people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
People. Damn. Bastards. Who needs them?
Hell is other people.
Yeah.
Where are people at?
Yeah, no, it's been better for me because I feel like I kind of gear towards isolation sometimes, and the pandemic didn't help with that. So being more people-facing,
sometimes.
Being more people-facing has been better for your mental health, my mental health. So, yeah, that's been the change for me and also moving into a bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
I have two puppies that are my heart and... One of them really needed the backyard, so we got him the backyard, and now he's over the moon.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. I think 2022 has kind of like been a segue into 2023.
Yeah.
It kind of melded together in that sense.
It kind of does usually, right? It's really weird.
Yeah.
like we like I always tell you, like February and January seem like non-existent sometimes.
It usually January and February are non-existent because I believe November and December bleeds into January and February because it's the busiest time of year for my job.
Yeah.
So like March is where I'm like, okay, the new year started.
Yeah.
It's
fair. I feel the same way.
It was very strange because I didn't buy my actual planners for the year until last week because it felt like the year started this month.
Yeah, definitely.
Flying by the seat of your pants for a third year. Wow.
Nothing's changed on that end. But yeah.
Oh, by the way, I said your name as Monday because that's how Charlie Cox said your name at Dragon Con when we got her the autograph picture. Remember? He's like, he's like, well, say hi to Monday for me because he's British. So
that's not far off because that's how they say my name back home.
Yeah. So shout out Charlie Cox. Please make Daredevil good, please. So Disney, don't fuck that up.
But come on, we've already seen Daredevil. Oh, God. Come back.
That wasn't Daredevil. Going towards the book. Bookstagram and the BookTube that we mentioned before loosely, like what made you fall in love with like the world of reading and literature?
I don't think I ever knew myself before books.
Oh really?
Yeah, so okay. I think I've always been like engrossed in a book.
Yeah.
The good thing about books is that you get to live other people's lives, and for someone like me who grew up in a third world country, we didn't get to go very far. So experiencing the world and other people's lives and other cultures was through a book. So it kind of stayed with me as something that I take comfort in.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I love reading as much as you do.
I wish you would just try.
You know what killed it for me though? Like honestly?
Video games?
No. Majoring in like literature, and it kind of like was forced on you to read all this stuff that I didn't really want to read just to get through the class and stuff like
it's
that.
It's funny you say that because like
I could kill it
all the way through high school and through college. Like I was an English major too, and all these things you had to read, and I don't think I read hardly anything all the way through.
Guys, I did.
But I passed everything.
So. I felt like ADHD, Yeah, I get that. And like for me, it's the total opposite. I was such a like a nerd to a fault because I felt like if I didn't read this thing, I was missing out on something.
I blame podcasts for me not reading. So we just shut this down right now. This is over.
I was about to say, and also the formative years where you were located, like you were saying, you know, you were in third world country in those formative years, so like that became your escape. You were how old when y'all came?
Well, thanks, Chris, trying to call me out.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, there's a little bit of a generational
trying to say
too.
I'm my bread buttered on both sides.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying,
I got that parquet and that can't believe it's not part of it.
Yeah,
but I was kidding. So what inspired you to want to start the BookTube and the Bookstagram?
I think, it started when I realized that I needed to cast a wider net with people that I talk to about books because I really don't have a strong circle around me with people that I can discuss books with. I'm sorry. I will talk to my inner circle about books, and I would get so like into it, and I'll be telling the story and what I'm getting from it and what I hate about it, and I can see their eyes just gloss over. I'm sorry.
Chris, can't believe you.
I'm just saying. It can be a little hard to discuss something that's really affected you, but somebody else hasn't read it, and you're just like,
yeah, that's true.
I'm really glad you got something out of that story. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Right.
So, you know, that's why a lot of people join book clubs, which can be a little challenging, especially, you know, in a pandemic. So,
yeah. Right. And that's a good point because, like a BookTube channel is kind of like a book club, but it's a wider net of people that you're kind of reeling in, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in a book club, you're around like five people. And it can get a little testy sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've been in book clubs where, you know, opinions kind of clash and people don't.
That's not the internet at all. The internet is so loving and embracing.
Yeah. Accepting of everything.
The good thing about BookTube is that you don't have to hear all of those opinions, right?
When you do your video on it, then people who are looking through YouTube and actually typing in what you're reading, they have probably already read or at least interested in what you're doing. So they can can have a communication with you at that point and do comments, be like, oh yeah, I felt this about this character, or
yeah,
oh my exactly. God, this makes me want to reread the book or whatever.
Exactly. So
I think it'll be definitely helpful.
I think I would like to bring more obscure content to BookTube. Mm. I feel like a lot of BookTubers focus on what's popular, which is not a bad thing, but I feel like it misses a lot of good books that are being overlooked. A lot of good authors that are being overlooked. And sometimes a lot of these popular books are kind of like, I'm not saying plagiarizing, but it's kind of inspired by the more obscure content. Mm. So maybe putting that out there and making some comparisons to the popular books would be kind of like...
When you said obscure authors, I was thinking, this is a Lawyer Squad reference. He had this kid, he's like his friend Darnell, who's like a cat who wrote the Musty book. So I was like thinking about the Musty book.
Okay.
I was like, the Musty book.
I can feature that.
The Musty book by Darnell. He actually signed it. Got a photo of him right here over the bookcase. Because Darnell was a good friend of mine who wrote The Musty Book.
Yeah.
In an episode.
Which is The Musty Book. Yeah.
For sure.
See, this is me glazing over because I don't get any.
Right. See? References. There we go. So, you know, real time.
I thought Musty was fun.
You're not a Tyler fan?
I don't.
You're not a Tyler Creator fan?
Jeez. No. You have not exposed me to.
Oh, yeah. I need to. Okay. Mm. You'll like that show. So, like, what kind of books would you like to cover when you start out? Or do you have, like, a want to run the gamut of, like, books and stuff?
I think I would like to run the gamut of books, but I think a lot of my content would probably be mostly horror.
Okay.
And the subgenres within horror.
Got it.
Horrors have been something that we both have kind of gone to for comfort, weirdly.
Yeah.
It just feels like home. So.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Chris, there's a mirror right there. We can see what you're doing.
Oh, I know, but the audience here can't. So,
yeah, mostly horror, I believe. Psychological horror, all the different subgenres in there. Cosmic horror would be nice.
Ooh. What's considered cosmic horror, though?
Anything that has to do with the cosmos.
Like Lovecraft would be the biggest.
Very much Lovecraftian.
Okay. So I've been exposed. I wasn't sure if I'm familiar with that.
You've seen It.
I don't think you can do cosmic horror and it doesn't touch Lovecraft.
I mean, I don't read so good, guys. So I don't know what cosmic horror is.
Wait, so we'd be reading this.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily have to read it. I can read it for you, and then you can go to my channel and get audio a summary book of it.
That'd be dope, actually. Right? We were talking about you doing some voice acting too. That could be kind of cool.
You know,
or voiceovers.
Oh, that would be nice. That's something I would consider.
Mm-hmm. That could be pretty cool. I feel like we went over what people can expect from the Bookstagram and the BookTube, but you can say anything. You can mention anything else that like you wanted to add to that. I just don't want to keep asking the same questions over and over again.
No, that's fine. I also think that I've come across a lot of books that portray themselves as horror, and it's kind of like
as
real
horror.
Life horror.
Yeah, horror.
But it's kind of like real life horror. I myself deal with anxiety issues as well, and like a little, you know, bouts of depression. So I would like to tap into books that kind of focus on that. And I have found a couple of them. Eric LaRocca, he does a lot of books that deal with anxiety and depression, but it's disguised as horror until you get to the end and it clicks in your head. And you're like, okay, this is what this is about.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And it becomes therapeutic in that sense. So I would like to kind of explore that as well, because I get my own little mental health kick from that. So
it'd
be nice to share those little nuggets with people as well, because I'm sure I wouldn't be the only one going through stuff like that.
So it's like creative, like therapy, with still sharing with other people.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
When do you want to, when do you want to launch both of these? I know that's probably a big question because, like, you know, no plans I have been made as far as I know, but do you have like a rough time?
It's a big question, but as a really horrible procrastinator. A lot. Yeah. I do need to give myself deadlines. So I would say within 2 months.
Okay, cool.
I think that's a good stretch of time.
I'm pretty bad about procrastinating too, as you know. That's why like I force myself to do this tonight, because I'm like, we've been talking about it for a while. I'll just do it.
Do you know what I've learned about procrastinators? It's not that they're lazy to do things. It's that they're so focused on perfecting it that they put it off until they feel they can get that perfection, and perfection never comes.
That makes me sound so much better. I'll go with that. I'm a perfectionist. No, just...
Great. You gave another out.
So, okay. This is unrelated but still related. It's like a random question
and a heavy question.
If you could choose one book to read over and over again, which book would it be and why?
Oh, I feel like I have to choose between like my kids, right? When you have to choose a book, like it's like asking you what is your favorite like superhero character.
Spider-Man.
Oh,
no,
see.
Batman too.
No, but you can only have one.
Oh, you can only have one.
The other one goes away forever.
Only one. All
right.
Like, Danny, what's your favorite microgreen? It's like choosing between your favorite, you know, your kids.
The radishes.
Can't do it.
Exactly.
Can't do it. So many flavors.
If I had to pick one, it would be Blackwater by Michael McDowell. He's a pretty not known author, but he's been in our culture for so long. Like, he was a very big part of the screenplay for Beetlejuice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and he also had a lot of screenplay credits, or actually wrote Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's awesome.
No one knows that. If you read like his past books, he's passed away. But I feel like Blackwater, I read that during the pandemic for the first time when I discovered him.
Oh, okay.
And it was nice because you were living that day-to-day slowness of life, that sludge, the big pause, right?
Yeah.
And you're following this family that's dealing with a supernatural creature from the lake, and you're living life with them every day, going through the sludge, you know, just wading through it.
Yeah.
And it felt like, wow, I'm not alone. Like, this is something that happens to people, not just me or the other person's going through the pandemic.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's that awesome. Would be a book that I would like to experience again. I don't think I would experience it the way I did in the pandemic because you're like in that situation.
That's like I'm going to say special, but I don't mean like it was a good time, but it was like a special time in our history.
Agreed.
They'll never ever.
Right. Yeah. And it's changed a lot for the good and the bad, but mostly good.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
But yeah, I would say Blackwater by Michael McDowell.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe you can cover that one first for the bookstagram possibly, or the booktube.
That would be great. Yeah, I can definitely do that. It's a very long read.
Okay.
But yeah, it would be good to do a Michael McDowell booktube episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet.
He's not very known on booktube, so.
And I was gonna ask, you have any socials, but probably not yet because
not as yet, but coming soon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You gotta give her heck after 16 hours.
Give her heck. Dude, well, she gets the sister card. I mean, she gets the pound.
Oh no.
She always gets the pass.
But yeah, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about though before we I guess we can wrap up soon, but yeah, I have some random questions to ask.
I was gonna laugh because I'd probably do one of those choose your own adventure books because every time you read it's a different book.
Yeah, that is true though.
They sucked back in the day because it'd always be those like silly mystical adventures, mm-hmm. and it'd be like just a paragraph where it ended, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
Well, most choosing your own adventures are geared towards kids. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Although Neil Patrick Harris did his autobiography as a choose your own adventure.
I could still see that of him.
Cool. That's pretty awesome.
What are your plans for 2023 in terms of...
And how did 2022 affect you? You kind of glanced over.
Okay, so 2022 affected me in a way where like I kind of got to leave America. So it was cool. Got to go overseas to Australia, see a different place. I went to Melbourne, which is really nice. It's a pretty nice city though. I like it a lot as far as like the vibes go and stuff like that. People are really nice and pretty open. And there's like a lot of cultures over there too, which is kind of cool to see. And staying in the city was really nice. Like having to be able to like leave the hotel and just walk down the street and like find a cool ramen spot or like a cool grocery store I've never seen before. Just like little events going on and stuff like that. That was really awesome. So yeah, that was nice going out, and I traveled alone, so that was different as well.
That was like a rite of passage, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a nice like moment of like growth, I guess, you know, which I was really nervous about, but like afterwards, after it was all over, like it made more sense in my head. It made me feel a lot better about like going places now, you know, but still got to be careful obviously because, you know, the world could be kind of crazy, right? But other than that, I feel pretty good. I'm glad I had like Mandy and Chris and like Danny and Jamie like looking out because like Mandy called me when I was in LAX, so that helped just to know someone knows where you are and like they're keeping track of like your progress or whatever. That's really nice to know someone is like looking out for you, you know, like. And Chris was like on it like Alfred and Batman because he's like, do you know your flight has been delay. And I was like, are you serious? He knew before I did.
He's the logistics guy.
Yeah, which is really cool. That helped a lot. And I was like, oh, I did not know that. And like, I'm really glad that he did that. I appreciate it. So thank you so much. Because like afterwards, I was prepped for it, like mentally. And that's when I got like the text message saying like, hey, your flight has been delayed. So I'm like, I was ready for it, you know? So, but yeah, traveling is like one of these things where you kind of like, you know, like roll with the punches, man. Even more than you do on a regular, like, I don't know, a regular day or whatever. You just kind of have to just go with it, you know? So, but I will say Delta food is really good.
We haven't heard the end of this since you came back from the trip, everyone.
Shout out to Delta. Feel free to sponsor the podcast. All right.
Sponsor Claudius's next trip.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a really nice trip. As far as like relationship goes, I was working on something with someone, but that didn't pan out, which was like pretty heartbreaking. But you know, kind of going through the motions of getting through that now as well, which is kind of, it's kind of like weird and tough. But like, I guess I'm happy. I feel okay enough right now to do this because like I didn't have a personality for a long time. To be honest with you, it was like at least 5 months or so, probably more than that. But yeah, but thank goodness I had like good family and friends and people who brought me food and stuff like that. Food fixes most things. Yes, sometimes it
does. So, and yeah. Tea.
Yeah, and tea. Yeah, and like moving tacos. Too. Yeah, moving from living with Jamie, as you guys know. You guys probably know on the podcast. Maybe you do know. But and living with Mandy and Danny now, that's really cool. It's a cool vibe and it's like definitely inspired more creativity and just like more family vibes. Which I, not that I didn't have that with Jamie, but things kind of changed towards the end. Just because like people just kind of progress, right? So it's kind of what happens sometimes. But yes, I'm really glad to be here now. And we have cool Ninja Turtles on the table. And that's really awesome. So.
We love the turtles.
Yeah. But just the vibe is different in a good way. And like we're all trying to be productive in our own ways. As you guys just heard, all have our own plans and stuff we want to work on. And the second part of your question was 2023. Doing more creative stuff like this. I'm working with, newly working with Aftermath Esports, not a Dr. Dre one, the thing that he's asking about. But Aftermath Esports, and they're based in Canada. So me and my friend Michael are going to be working on their podcast and just like more marketing type stuff and try to get their content creators like more exposure and, you know, get them to where they need to be as far as like being in front of everything. So that's really new still, but still trying to like learn where I fit in with that, but definitely marketing and editing and being creative. So shout out to Matt for helping me being part of the team. I appreciate it. And they're looking for content creators as well. So if you guys are interested and if you stream a lot of games and stuff like that, feel free to email me at epicbrewspodcast@gmail.com. And I will forward your stuff to them. So, you know, I can get you hooked up if you want to do that. That'd be really cool. But please be sure to be consistent with your streaming. And, you know, I know being a content creator is like a nice glam life now. But, you know, the work is definitely real. So, you know, just be ready for that. And if you really want to do it, please contact me so I can let them know. Because they're looking for people, actively looking for people, not just saying that. So shout out to them. I really appreciate it again. And I should get Matt on the show. That'd be cool. We can talk about Aftermath.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And working on all these podcasts that we talked about, as far as like the different shows, which I ranted about in the beginning of this episode. So please look out for that and follow Epic Bruce Media on Instagram. And we don't have a website anymore because like it's really expensive to pay for a website. So I'm gonna like try to figure it out. But as of right now, we're just on Audio Boom as we always are, Spotify, all the podcast apps and platforms, and also, you know, social is like Instagram. I think that's it. We don't have a Facebook anymore really that we keep up with. I'm trying to shine away. I'm kind of shying away from Facebook a little bit. Were you gonna say
we got a new follower today?
On where?
On Facebook. Everbreeze podcast, we got a new follower. People are still going back.
Who
and liking
it?
I don't know. I didn't look at it too close, but people are still going back and like liking our original like Friday Night Fight Days and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like,
holy crap, dude. Okay. That's crazy. Okay. Well, hey, well, thank you guys for like supporting, even though we're like gone for a while. And but yeah, we appreciate all the support and listens. And I still see the podcast quote unquote charting in different countries still. And people listen to the podcast still. Wow. So it's really crazy.
That's awesome.
We do have like upwards of like 100 and something episodes. I guess that kind of helps a little bit too.
Very true.
So And I think that's all I've been working on as far as like that goes, and just trying to be productive. And as more stuff comes up, you'll know, because this will be a monthly podcast, obviously. So this isn't the last time you'll hear updates on stuff we're working on. I think that's all I have. And you guys have anything else?
I just want to say thank you. This is awesome.
Thank you for welcoming us, Claudius.
Yeah, thank you guys for wanting to be on the podcast, because I was like really not nervous, but I was like, maybe you guys probably wouldn't want to be on the podcast.
Why not?
I wasn't sure. I mean, not like you wouldn't like want to be on it, but you know, it takes time out of your day to sit here and, you know, record and stuff. So
it's been more fun than anything else. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Anything else?
And thanks for returning, Chris. Yeah.
I meant like not awful. It's been fun.
Wow.
come on down.
Random question number one for Dan.
Oh, shoot.
Do you eat or drink soup?
I'm gonna say eat. Definitely eat.
Okay. Are we talking about chunky or like just regular tomato?
I like mine creamy.
Save that.
I like mine creamy and thick. Okay. Second one's for Mandy.
Yeah.
What is the best gift you have ever received?
Oh my gosh.
That's a heavy one.
Mm. That's a tough one, guys. Yeah. Best gift. Wow.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say a child's laughter.
A child's laughter. Like Peter Griffin.
Like Peter, yeah.
Oh god.
I honestly can't say.
I will follow up for you.
Yes, thank you.
How many pair of shoes do you own?
Oh my.
How many pair of shoes do you own?
That was the question.
You own room for that. I don't even know. Dude.
Okay, so when Claudius moved in, I asked him how many pairs of shoes he owned, and I think this is like a personal vendetta. He's actually putting me on blast.
No, it's right. I promise.
No, he told me 18. I'm like, what? How did you wind it down to 18? So I was very impressed. And he was like, well, no, that's just the ones I usually wear. Mm-hmm. I have like 50 other pairs. No, he didn't say 50. I think he said like 40.
No, I said like 22 or something.
There was 18 on his shoe.
But they weren't all mine. They were mixed up with Jamie's.
But a majority of them, that's what I'm saying, like 18 from there.
Okay.
So for you to have like, you probably have 25 to 28.
That's fair. That's fair to say.
You would actually look at that's not so bad, because I had to like justify my pairs of shoes, because I feel like shoes go by the seasons. Like you have to.
That is true though. Shoes do go by the seasons.
I had to do like an essay on why I had so many pairs of shoes.
Did you really?
In my head, I did it.
Oh, yeah, in your head. Okay. Yeah. I thought you actually did one. I was like, what? Yeah.
No,
you?
I'm not that much of a nerd, guys. But
so how many do you have? Your ballpark?
Like in the 40s?
No, I want to say like, I would say like high 40s. Probably near 50.
Okay, yeah. Danny. Holy shit. How many do you have?
Maybe six or seven.
Exactly. Impressive. I've got like maybe 5 to 6. And
I use my shoes.
Danny doesn't have 6 or 7 shoes.
He has
6 or 7 work shoes.
Okay. The truth is out. Okay, she's gonna put you on blast.
I usually go barefoot.
Oh, okay.
I think he counts. He counts the work shoes because it's the only ones that he pretty much uses. Like he'll use his going out shoes, but it's like once a year.
No, that's keep fair.
Clean
though.
You keep them very clean. Mm-hmm. Very proud of that. But he has a couple. He has like going out shoes. I want to say like maybe 3.
Maybe four or five.
Plus the how many work shoes? Six?
Maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
I'm going to table it. But I would say maybe like 11.
11. That's not bad.
All right, Chris, what about you?
5 to 6.
I don't think we have anyone here that can actually like verify this data.
Yeah. But I mean.
Call his mom.
But Claudius, I mean, like you see me. Yeah. I usually wear the same pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. And then like if we're going out like and it's not muddy or anything, I'll wear the white ones that you recommended.
You got some wellies?
And then I've got what?
Some Skechers.
You can clearly I'm not a sneakerhead, because you know, and then I've still got like the Iron Man shoes that you got me.
Oh, you should rock those, dude.
I need to clean those.
Yeah,
and then I've got like my like dress shoes.
Your go-tos. Like okay.
My event shoes. So okay. I've probably got 5 or 6 pairs, wow. But that's not...
Mm. Yeah. I can't live life like that. It sucks, but...
I probably have as many different pairs of glasses as I have pairs of shoes.
Oh, damn.
To be honest.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
Ask
impressive.
Me how many pairs of glasses I have.
How many pairs of glasses do you have?
One.
Oh, I have two.
One, two, three, four.
You have two, right? Two. Two's like a regular amount.
7 if you count my prescription sunglasses?
Anything over 4 is like serial killer territory.
Well, but no, I mean, that part of mine is just the fact that I had HSA funds and stuff. I'm like, I don't got to
spend. Oh, because you're weird.
So I'm like,
flaunting the HSA. HSA.
Yeah. You got to use it. Yeah, I got to make it good.
That HDHP plan.
Yeah, but now that I've got the H. No. Right. It was the FSA? Mm-hmm. Maybe the FSA.
Now
I've got
H.
the HSA so I can keep it and I can roll it over. But it was like sure. One time we had one that we, you know, the plan at the end of the year. And I would put like $1,500 because I'd be like, okay, doctor's appointments and things like that. And then I never went to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So you, go you gotta doctor. Use it. So then I'd go and get new pairs.
Chris, you gotta go to a doctor.
I do now. Yeah. I go every 6 months.
Good for you. The right. Good thing about the HSA, you can also invest it.
I should know this because I'm in payroll. In payroll. But I'm like,
just save see, you some money.
You'll be dropping knowledge on the podcast.
Right? Yeah. 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 Can invest it. Yep.
All right, yeah. Well,
yeah, I don't want to invest in this economy.
No.
NFTs? In
this economy.
NFTs are such a scam.
Bitcoin?
I don't understand Bitcoin. I do not understand how somebody created a program. Oh, it's like, geez. You have to go out there and you...
Chris,
and
this is a different podcast. This is a different podcast episode.
Yeah, I just think... We should do a podcast about things that we things that people buy for no reason. You try, this is not the Oscars. You can't make me walk off the screen.
I'm trying to play you off.
No.
No, I have an easy one for you, though. Your random question is, if you could be any type of dog, what breed would you be?
Why didn't I get that question?
That was easy for you.
Golden Retriever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. They're pretty adorable.
They're adorable. All right, they're relatively smart.
Yeah, that's like they're relatively
people love
smart.
Them. And then when they do stupid things, people are like, oh, you're so cute. You're doggy.
Yeah, but like, that's
you can
for every dog.
On the floor
much.
And everybody look at you.
I mean, Deku does yeah, that. Like, oh, he doesn't have to be a golden retriever.
Dude, yeah. After you hit 80, you could poop on the floor and no one look.
Look, if I hit 80, you can expect me to probably poop on the floor. Because, you know, at that point, like, my mind will be gone.
No, it won't. Chris, there's some sharp 80-year-old.
Yeah, but you have not met me.
Chris, okay. All right, on that note, on that pooping on the floor note, we're going to wrap up the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you guys for being here, everyone. Thank you
for having us.
Sat here listening to me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you. So, guys, you guys can tune in to the podcast on all the podcasts. Platforms and you know Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, that's ours, we pay for that, so go there and give us some listens. And you can review the podcast as well if you like to give us a rating. It helps a lot. And share with your friends and people you love and people you don't really like. You know, if this is a pain for you, just put it off to someone you don't like. Like, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, your aunt's aunt.
Yeah, your aunt's
cousin's
aunt.
Cousin.
Yeah.
Mama's mom.
Your father's roommate's brother's roommate's former dog walker.
No, but seriously, please share and support the podcast when you can. And we'll be back next month with an episode of Epic Breeze Media Podcast.
Yay. I got it! Yay!
Well, thank you guys, and we will catch you next time.